that are within indicate an interest in policy. That is, we carry out political work in the union, and we recruit from the union. Maritime fraction at one time was our biggest fraction. Well, maybe next to the oil fraction. Anyway, we had over 100 members in the maritime fraction alone, seamen and longshoremen. And they weren't all colonized.
Was not anywhere near the strength of it today.
But not many people acknowledge them. You have a religion, you have a clergy, not movement. You have a movement that's under the label of by itself to smash the Jim Crow system. You have a liberation movement now that can turn this country upside down. They are in charge, not a minority. And who are determined not to go to the factory kitchen when the only time the capitalists needed women in industry was when there was a war on, and then there was a war on when there was a boom. And there was a labor shortage. And then they'd say, okay, you can come out of the kitchen now, we'll give you a job. But by this day, they're older, you see. Unfortunately, you don't have the, what is the society level, the radicalization of the organized working class. It's lagging behind, has been lagging behind, but they are beginning to creep up, don't you see? That's what I mean when all of these elements reach the same degree of maturity as indicated by the movement itself. And the movement of the Afro-American, the movement of the women, the movement of Chicano, the movement of gay, when all of these become more and more radicalized as they begin to realize that the only solution to all of these problems and to their problems is not tinkering with the system, not little tinkering reforms, but to overthrow the whole goddamn mess and to establish an order that you can be proud of, a socialist order. When that occurs, you're going to have a social revolution in this country. And that's what I said, that the odds are all on our side this time, you see. Because all of the elements, all of the sectors are maturing, if not simultaneously, at least moving in the same direction. And the working class is beginning to catch up, and the working class can move awfully fast. That was the essence of my election yesterday. That this American working class moves very slowly. It's very slow to move, but when it moves with tornado speed. And nothing will stop. Nothing will stop it because you'll have all moving together in the same direction. I'm convinced of that. I have probably overlooked, and I should make before we conclude. That is the character of the steel union as different from the auto workers and some of the other unions. See, the steel union did not arise out of the kind of struggle in which the auto workers had to engage, such as sit-down strikes and the big strike struggle. It didn't arise out of any strike struggle at all. It was apparently sort of handed to John L. Lewis that I'm a prophet. In 1937, in March of 1937, suddenly, without any forewarning, Lewis reported that the United States Steel Corporation, that the CIO signed an agreement with the United States Steel Corporation recognizing the CIO as a collective bargaining agent, the biggest steel corporation in the state. The one that had led up to that time, he was the most intransigent fight against unionism in the industry. That is how the steel union was born. The steel union from 1937 to 1942, a period of 5 years, was manned by men and men from the United Mine Workers staff. Murray was a lieutenant. The whole staff, Steel Workers Organizing Committee, the top staff were all part of the United Mine Workers Union. That's in March. In May of 1937, Steel and that whole concept of steel moving corporations around Chicago, down in the street. They usually call it strike. And Memorial Day, part of the strike action held that it was going to hold a picnic, and they were going to march by the Republic Steel Company plant. And as they did, they had first confronted the mayor of Chicago, Shelley, I think his name was Mayor Shelley, and informed him of what they intended to do, and got his agreement that it was permissible, and they would have no objection. But when they got near the plant, they were met by the Chicago cops who opened fire and killed about 10 steel workers and injured, wounded about 30. But it's gone down in history as the Memorial Day Massacre. There was no agreement signed with Little Steel. They call it the Little Steel Massacre until the war, the period of the war, and then under pressure of the government, they were compelled to finally sign an agreement. Now this has had an effect upon the whole subsequent development of the steel union. That is, there was no elected official until 42. I think our first convention was 1942. And Murray then was elected. He was an acting president, and all the rest of them were elected. And so they did not have the tradition of rank and file control, rank and file intervention, or rank and file any of the rank and file measures adopted by the unions that had engaged in a struggle against both the employers and the bureaucracy. The auto workers, as you recall, the AFL had set up a provisional auto workers organizing committee, but they retained bureaucratic control of the union to have a fight against the bureaucrats and the bosses to establish their union. And this enters into the tradition of the UAW and the form, the democratic forms which were established then still are extant, still preserved. But the democratic content has been extirpated, which is another thing. Now, this has given, when the revolt occurred, that's how, for example, McDonald came to be president. He was never a steel worker, he was a secretary to Murray. That's how he became president. He inherited the job. So that also when Abel ran against McDonald, he was the first one to even raise the question of the democratic right to be in the union. And because of this lag, and this in the consciousness of the steel workers of the importance of democratic rights in the struggle against the bureaucracy, this lag now contributes to an acceleration. So it becomes more explosive. The issue in the steel union was an auto worker at a big convention in Los Angeles. And one of the comrades attended it, there was a motion of floor, and he brought me all the documents, and I swear they're that high. That high! Every document on every conceivable subject. But all intended to smother, and strangulate even the liberal, formalistic democratic democracy that still prevails in. They thought to overwhelm them with words, you see. For the first time, the President of the Union has not one, but two volumes this thick on his report. What the hell do you find in the report on it requires two volumes, at least an inch and a half thick. Well, it's filled up with wind, you see, and hot air. And it's easy. Smart. Hey, you overwhelm it, but after a while, you know, you become numb. You know, that's just a difference. Well, that's the difference. So it takes them a little time to catch up to the fact that they didn't have, you see. And maybe catch up to the still one.